Praise be Jesus and Mary. Yeah, you know, living in community life, you get opportunities to realize, you know, ways to perfect this thought that our Lord gives us, this consideration, if you want to put it that way too, that our Lord presents to us in today's gospel, this seeking the lowest place. And one might think that just because one is in the last, say physically last place, that then therefore one is the lowest, you know. But one has to ask the question: if you take the last place, are you really? Is it really the lowest? I mean, when someone tells you, "No, please, you know, take this spot," or "No, that goes to some," even taking the last place really is, if you stop and think about it, if you've taken it, well, you chose the spot. You know, you haven't, well, the lowest place is the one that's given to you, if you want to put it that way, to understand what I'm trying to tell you. You know, when someone says, you know, this is your place, you've taken the lowest place. If you put yourself there and someone else, you know, put it another way, you see this in the lines of the friar sometimes, the competition, that you get the, I like to joke. It doesn't happen, at least I don't know about this friary, but sometimes I make this pun. You know, the last one to leave the chapel is the first one to leave the dishes. Who's really last? you know, to assert that place of authority, oftentimes the superior takes the last place. Well, I mean, then is it really the last place? He's taken it. The last one in the procession who came in. Who was in the last place? The priest. That's the place that's assigned to him in the liturgy. So who's in the last? Who's really in the last place? Because everyone expects him to kind of, you know, be at the tail end of it. I think you're starting to get the idea of what I'm trying to say. When you know, last place. Say if you're going to get in a line or just sitting down. Certainly, we can obviously take a place that's noted that, you know, well, you come into a banquet hall and there's obviously one table that's decked out a little better than the others, usually up in front, but it's usually some prominent place. And if you take a seat there, you're just asking for a humiliation. It's humiliating if that place of honor, if it isn't distinguished by some setting on the table, it looks like every other table. Well, then it's humiliating to find that you've accidentally sat at that table. I've been there. And the bishop goes, "Oh, no, no, you don't have to leave. But I want to. I don't want to sit here." And it's humiliating to have to sit there. And the bishop, no, you're fine. It's like, "Oh, but I don't want to be here. This is terrible." So, you know, these things do happen. You know, when I say the table isn't, when it's not obvious that it's the, one of the secrets is don't sit close to the food. That's sometimes the first table. But at any rate, you know, these are things, you know, to take in consideration. And what it comes down to, you know, if you want another word for it, is deferring to others. It's a beautiful way to practice work at practicing obedience, even when we're in authority. You know, fathers can practice, mothers and fathers, superiors, you know, even when we're in charge of something, we can actually, if you do it in a spirit of service, if you do it, you know, to listening to, say, the thoughts and considerations of what others have to say, even though you're the one in charge, there's nothing wrong with deferring to others. I don't recommend that you constantly change things, because that disturbs the peace of everyone. It's like, well, why do we have to change it? Why do we have to keep changing it? Why can't we leave it the way it is? So, you know, it's not to take up necessarily every suggestion that comes down the pike, and, you know, everybody that makes a comment, you know, institutes a change. But to put it in the scales of what's the benefit of the community, does this sound like a good idea for, you know, you can even put it before the community. So, well, someone came up with this great idea. We could do something like this. I've seen it. I've seen friars, you know, I live in the friary, but I mean, it happens out in the world too. You know, you're given a charge of something, and all of a sudden, you've got to redistribute and rearrange the whole of the area that you've just been put in charge of. And it's like, why? I mean, it's one thing to, you know, clean things up and set things in order and stuff like that. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. But where you go beyond what's really necessary. You know, all of a sudden people can't find anything. So, you know, it was arranged, but you have to rearrange it and make it your arrangement. Just so it's, now it's my way. My way is always better than somebody else's way. Well, it's better, you know, you don't know why they had it arranged the way they did. So why change it? And it's a mortification of yourself. Remember when I was a superior, there's a lot of things you want to you want to change. You have to say, well, why? I mean, it's just because I don't like it. Well, that makes it a nice penance, doesn't it? If I mean, it's useful, it's service, you know, it's serviceable, it works. So why do I have to really change it? Because I don't like it. So what big deal is that? But if it's obvious to, like, everybody, you know, for charity to the community, this is a bit different. When it's done as a service and a charity to the community, and it's not a constant of changing things, you know, these changes from time to time can be very helpful to rearrange things once in a while. The Italian way is you tear everything out. When you're going to rearrange things, you take everything out on the front lawn and clean up the place and then put everything back. That's the way they clean up. It works. It's a lot of work. You got to handle everything two or three times, I guess. But it, you know, sometimes that's what needs to be done. You know, and it does allow for certainly a real rearranging of things and perhaps reordering of things, and then you know where everything is because you've handled everything. But to ask Our Lady to help us, you know, to practice this humble spirit of taking the last place. In one sense, it's a practice of obedience. And that practice can, as I said, you know, fathers and mothers and superiors, even people when we're friars or whatever, whenever we're even put in charge of things, if it's done as a service, to learn to defer. And in our rule, we're actually told when we go about the world, the brothers should defer to one another. Even when you're a superior, it's like you don't have to say, well, this is what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this and that and the other thing. Well, you can also say, well, would we like to do this, you know. St. Francis used to put one of the brothers in charge of the whatever they went to. Even though he's the head honcho, he would put someone else in charge of, you know, figuring out how they're going to go, where they're going to go, and all these other things. You know, he probably would make suggestions or whatever. But this was a common practice he had. Let us pray to Our Lady to help us to have this humble attitude as she herself did, very willing to take the last place, so much so that God exalted her the very first place, that after her son, she would be the mother of God, the greatest of all God's creatures. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.